So we'll see you.
We can go ahead and get started, please. A little after 8:30. I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. I would also ask, as a courtesy to all, that you ensure that you have turned off your cell phones and pagers. Each director received notice of the board meeting. The public meeting notice was properly posted and required by law. Director Steinmetz has indicated that he would not be present for this meeting. Additionally, we would like to introduce our new director, Todd Brashears. Todd, welcome aboard. Hope you have an enjoyable time, and it should be good. See, at this time, we've set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that are interested in providing comments here should fill out one of the cards provided at the table outside the door to the boardroom with your name and contact information on it. I have some cards. We encourage you to speak your mind and tell us your thoughts. Be mindful, however, that while you can say anything you wish, the board cannot deliberate or discuss issues that are not posted on meeting notes. That is not our requirement. That is state law. The board is limited in its ability to participate in discussions or deliberations by the provisions of the Open Meeting Act. The Open Meeting Act authorizes a government body to give members of the public an opportunity to speak at a public meeting or provide comments. However, the board may not deliberate or act on any matters which is not specifically posted on the agenda. In an effort to provide everyone an opportunity to speak, we request that the presentations be limited to 3 minutes each. With that in mind, the first speaker I have here is Stephen Louder with Lakeview Lodge.
Good morning, board members. My name is Steve Louder, and I'm with Lakeview Lodge. Hopefully, you've received my memo from the last scheduled board meeting on January the 11th. Again, I appreciate the efforts of the members who showed up, and in particular, I'd like to point out Director Bell for taking a physical tour of our leasehold with Mike Iltis. I've also spoken to a number of y'all since the last board meeting, and I appreciate your time. I'd also like to thank the staff in acknowledging our rent and the rents for other commercial leases are in need of a complete overhaul. But as you can see from the staff's position letter of December 9th, they have no interest in addressing our inequities of our current situation. The divestiture of the commercial and the 19 commercial leases are finalized. It's important to note I do not have an issue involving the purchase of my leasehold, which was at a bid situation. What I do have a problem with is what I bid on at the leasehold at the auction is not at all what I have in my current lease today. Staff can't dispute the fact that they amended the lease by amendment number one prior to our purchase. In visiting with Wade Phillips, Wade Gear, a past director, regarding the situation, he stated staff would deal with me fairly. But staff doesn't deal with potential purchasers of leasehold interest. They want to only deal with the leasehold holder itself. The bottom line is about a pig in the poke, but the BRA had not collected rent for 7 years prior to this sale, and the property still isn't in FERC compliance. My situation isn't unlike Costello Island in that we have three individual cottage site tracts that are outside of FERC, which we'd like to purchase. Suffice it to say, I still need your help. I've prepared some additional information for your review, which would give you some pictures and some, if you didn't have the tour, so hopefully this will be helpful. But on a more positive note, Mike Patterson has made an offer to the board this past week. Some of your members have this offer. And I've talked to other commercial leases this week. It's an offer for 70% of the 08 appraised value for the 49 leases that are remaining out there like me that have problems and the residential leases that are still FERC impacted. I hope this board takes a hard look at Mr. Patterson's proposal and can give us some assurances of how y'all are going to go forward in the future. And I really do appreciate your time, and I'd like to hand this out if y'all don't mind. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Louder. Next, I have a card for Mike Patterson with Patterson PK Land Partnership speaking on the behalf of Costello Island.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman DeCluitt and commissioners. My name is Mike Patterson. One of the gentlemen over here a while ago said, how's our deal coming? And I said, which one? You know, and I got a lot of balls in the air right now, but I would like to make just a brief comment about a couple of groups that are falling outside of the properties, the 1,580 leaseholds that we currently have on contract. The first group is the Costello Island group that are just, you know, falling, I hate to say falling through the cracks, but not real clearly addressed in House Bill 3031, so consequently, you know, are being left out of our effort. I have sent y'all an unsolicited offer, and that's almost redundant. Most all my offers are always unsolicited. Most of the parties I go to, I'm not invited to, but this is another unsolicited offer from me regarding the Costello Island properties. And all I'm trying to do is accommodate Costello Island trying to pitch something that would be revenue neutral to me, you know, and not cost me any money. And I don't know the details of Costello Island, if it's one lease or seven lease or 11 leases. But my very cryptic offer to the board was, if y'all can use our sales contract, our House Bill 3031 vehicle, I'd be glad to be a revenue neutral conduit to pass those properties through us. Now, unfortunately, I do have some very small costs that are unavoidable. I have a 2% of a loan fee, and because my equity is already set, you know, those additional properties would have to run through our loan. So I would be glad to pass through 98% of whatever the net proceeds would be from Costello Island if it was an all-cash transaction. So whatever the sales contract you deem it to be, if it's 90% of 2008 assessed values, then I would either offer, or if we need to go through the bid process, I would offer to pay 98% of that. And then with the agreement for the Costello Island folks to then pay 100%. So I'm just basically washing out. Now, there was a question as to, well, what if all of the seven did not want to pay cash? And I really can't afford to pay 98% for a 99-year lease or a 30-year seller finance. And so if that was a possibility, I could only afford to pay 60% if a particular property wanted to be seller financed or 99-year lease. I can only pay 60% of that. And if you said, Patterson, just bid all seven of those properties, then, you know, I said, well, I could, not knowing who's going to do what, I could sort of blindly do a 75% offer. So very cryptic, very brief. I'm not trying to poke my nose in other people's business, but I'm just trying to offer our current situation. If it helps the Costello Island folks to flow that through our existing deal, hey, I'd be glad to help. The second group, you know, is also, it's sort of I didn't think it was a very big group at all, but when we originally contracted, you know, we said, okay, these 1,580 properties are identified, but we will remove from that group any residential properties that are totally within the FERC or any commercial properties that are partially within the FERC. And we understood that going in, and we're not complaining. But it's kind of, as we are kind of getting through the process, and we're still not, and I say we, the BRA staff and our surveyors are still not sure, but it looks like several of the properties, I first thought that exclusion would exclude certain properties, especially the residential properties that were within the 25 and 50-foot FERC buffer. But the more we're looking into it, there are certain properties, specifically Ellis Road. A large part of Ellis Sod Road might be not so much within the FERC buffer, but within the FERC project zone, which whether it's in the buffer or the project zone, it would equally be excluded. Well, In order to accommodate those people, I've sent another unsolicited bid to you all, and I don't know if it made your package, but it would include all the properties that are impacted by FERC that would be excluded from our current sale, our House Bill 3031 sale, that I would offer to pay 70% of those 40 or 50 properties or whatever they were of that 2008 assessed values, and then roll them out resale opportunities based upon the 100% of 2008 assessed values, and giving them very similar options that the current lessees have. But the key it would be only if, as, and when the FERC was removed. That there again, unsolicited offer. Y'all didn't really ask for it, but I just pitched it out there. And I'd be glad to answer any questions. And I really appreciate, and I can't say enough for BRA staff and council, and they have certainly been a pleasure to work with to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Next card I have is for Russell Budd with Costello Island Lease, organization representing Costello Island.
We have two people for Costello
Island. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Jeff Henrian.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is Jeff Henrian.
Yes.
Please go ahead. We're with Costello Island.
Morning. As you said, I'm Jeff Henrion with Costello Island. Thank you for your time. I wanted to give you a little history on Costello Island. We've had a lease out there since the 50s. And that was one lease, actually, what Mike was asked about. One lease since the 50s. And I think it was about the early 80s. It actually got split to two leases. It wasn't our desire, but it happened. And so there's two leases, one basically where the residential homes are, and one what we call the wilderness lease. Joe Best, who's here today, his dad was one of the original guys out there in the 50s. And, you know, he's second generation. My parents were out there over 30 years ago. I'm second generation. My kids are growing up out there today. So we're working on the third generation of people out there on the island. There are seven homeowners, and that's all it is. It's, you know, some people get confused, think, you know, there's some commercial operation going on there. All it is seven families out there, you know, enjoying the lake, you know, weekend homes. One of the owners, it is his homestead. So, you know, we share all the land. We share the common areas. We share water system. We're not on the water system. We have to do our own because, you know, when you're an island, as I like to say, we're a fishbowl. It's, we all got to get along together because we're living with each other out there. So we share, you know, water, utilities, docks, maintenance on maintaining everything. And including one of the big concerns for us every day out there is fire. We've had people come on to wilderness parts and create campfires have gotten out of control, and a wildfire out there would be devastating for us because there's no way to get the fire department over there. If the fire, and there have been wildfires out of control, and we've been lucky to control them where they didn't burn any houses. We have had some old improvements that burned out there many years ago, an old barn that went back into probably the 30s for all I know. It got burned in one of those wildfires. There's, you know, illegal hunting that goes on out there. There's, you know, because of the wildlife, people have come over there and shot, you know, deer, which, you know, is against the laws, the rules for anywhere on Possum Kingdom Lake. And definitely concerning to us because it's a danger for our families and kids. The trash, we've always maintained, you know, the island in a pristine fashion, spend a lot of time and money to do that. And that's what we hope to do for the future. We hope to continue taking care of it, you know, like you'd want us to and like we have, and keep a pristine, beautiful place that's, you know, that's nice for everybody to look at out of Possum Kingdom Lake. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Budd, did you wish to speak? This is Russell Budd speaking on the issue of Costello Island.
Good morning. I just wanted to follow up on a few things that Jeff Henrion had to say. First of all, our lease has always...
Could you state your name, please, again?
I'm sorry, Russell Budd.
Thank you.
B-U-D-D. We've been out there for some of the families have been out there for about 60 years. I've been out there for about 20. We've always had a lease on the entire island. We always were able to get our leases renewed. We always had a purely residential use for the land. Since 1953, there's never been a commercial use out there. We don't want a commercial use out there. There's one aspect of our lease that is a little unusual, and that is that we have a lease with subleases. If that's an issue, we're glad to get rid of the subleases and just go to one lease. That is not a problem with our group whatsoever. We've had significant improvements in reliance on our ability to get lease renewals over the past 60 years. We've built houses. We've built caretaker houses. We've built guest houses. We've built an airstrip. We've built a point dock. We've built a barn. And we've built a boat dock. In May of 2008, there was a resolution this board passed that said, be it further resolved that notwithstanding such moratorium, the Brazos River Authority shall manage any request for a new lease for financing purposes made in writing prior to May 20, 2008, in accordance with policies and procedures in place on the date such request was received. We did submit a lease renewal request prior to May of 2008, a couple of them actually. And in reliance on this resolution, we went forward and obtained financing and spent approximately $200,000 on a new boat dock on that property on the island. We also feel like Mr. Patterson has done a great job of trying to put this together. But he said it seemed a little unclear under the 3031 legislation as to whether we could purchase our residential lease. We feel like it is clear and that we should have the right to purchase that property under 3031 and have obtained an opinion that indicates that we should be allowed to do that. That's for the residential portion. Obviously, there's a significant portion of that island that is currently under the FERC easement. If and when FERC were to go away and the plant was decommissioned and BRA had full rights over the property again, what we really would like to do is become partners with you all in trying to develop a solution where you can maximize the price for that property and we can have the property. And we look forward to trying to work with you on that in the future. Today, what we're asking for is simply to get a lease renewal, again, on that property for the residential area that includes all of the improvements that we put on that property over the past 60 years. And on the FERC portion, that we obtain the same lease that we have now, use of the property subject to a six-month termination notice from the Brazos River Authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Budden.